This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Welcome to A Course in Miracles, Living the Love, Walking the Talk with Reverend Jennifer Hadley. Get ready to focus on your intent to be the love, be the peace through practical application. Here is your host, Reverend Jennifer Hadley.
Bonjour, bonjour. Yes, oh my goodness. Such deep, deep gratitude. Very, very grateful. I'm going to jump right into our opening prayer blessing here. Our topic today, anger is never justified. Mm-hmm. Let's place our hands on our heart and be so grateful and so thankful that the love of God is what we already are. So grateful and so thankful that the infinite intelligence is living through us and as us. So grateful and thankful for the power and the presence of love, which is our very essence and nature. Gratefully, we open ourselves to insight, clarity, inspiration, divine downloads, and guidance. We are grateful to surrender attachments to a false view, to any sense of victimhood. We are grateful to allow the hurts to be healed. We do not need to nurture the wounds anymore. We are opening ourselves to a full and complete healing. We turn it over to that higher Holy Spirit self, that higher wisdom. We are grateful to relinquish all attachments that are the foundation of anger. They dissolve and resolve permanently back to the root cause, so we never experience them again. We let it be, sharing the benefits with all. We allow it to fully be made so, and so it is. Amen. 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 Cultivating a profound and powerful, mighty, mighty willingness. Yes. Anger feels like a trap, like a hole that we fall into. And what we don't realize is that it is of our own making. We have dug the hole and we push ourselves into it for the experience of it. So when we're angry, we're wrong-minded. But there's nothing wrong with us. It's the stinking thinking. Our hearts can open to love. Love is the cleanser, the clearer, the refresher, the renewer, the restorer. It revitalizes us. It opens us to the power. It is the power. So when we're holding on to the root causes of anger, we are blocking the flow of love. And then that healing, that refreshment, that renewal, that restoration, the revitalization does not occur. So if you think of, this is why I like to say being in the flow of love. If you think of love as an energetic that flows, you know, there's no way to accurately use words to describe love. We can only get to descriptions of it in a symbolic sense. So we work with that. We work with metaphor, etc. But if we think of love as an energetic that we can block or we can let it flow, it's our natural state to be in the flow of love, to be the flow of love. That's how we get into it. We be it. We are it. And we allow it. But in our human experience, we have the opportunity to block it and see what that feels like. Discover what that feels like. Explore what that feels like. We have all done that. There's no new information. That's the thing I finally got to. There's no new information here. Because in my later 20s, I went so low that I didn't want to live anymore. I did not want to be Jennifer anymore. I did not want this experience anymore. So that's how low I got. And the only thing that kept me from killing myself was the love of my family. I didn't feel I had the right to do that to them because I felt so guilty for all the anger that I had vomited on them over the years. Now, of course, they participated in it. They helped to foment and ferment that anger, that hurt, that fear. And still, what A Course in Miracles teaches us is anger is never justified. So we're looking into chapter 30 this week, section 6, which is entitled The Justification for Forgiveness. And the very first sentence in this section is, anger is never justified. Anger is never justified. Never. So yes, we have a right to be angry, and still it's never justified. It's always the byproduct of the wrong view. So just before I get deeper into this, because it is a bit heady, the rest of this is a bit heady, let me just share what I share in my teachings, my Finding Freedom Spiritual Boot Camp, which will be offered again in September, my year-long Masterful Living class, which registration is closed. It'll open again in the fall as we prepare for 2025. So anger is a symptom. I know I've said this before, but it just bears repeating because sometimes I share it and people don't hear it. You know, and that's how the mind works. When it's clogged and the love is not flowing, there's so much that we can't hear, we can't clearly understand and know. So that's just unfortunately how it is. But, or fortunately, because this is how we discover and learn, that we have the option to open up the flow of love. This is a choice for us. We can do it if we choose to, if we see the value of it. So, working with this, anger is a symptom. Anger is a symptom. It lets us know that our thinking is really, really stinking, and we've backed ourselves into a corner where we are very afraid. And why are we so afraid? We are afraid because there is an emotional wound that is open and hurting. And when we're angry, there is a strong fear that we're going to be wounded more deeply in that place that has yet to heal, or that we are currently being further wounded in that place that has yet to heal. And anger can even happen when the wound is a physical wound at times, with an emotional wound connected to it. So think of if you've ever been in great pain, and it could be that someone could poke that pain, you know, accidentally, you might respond with anger be careful. You're mad. Don't touch me. I told you. Right? It's that kind of thing. It's, I'm so vulnerable. I'm terrified that I'm going to get hurt more. And you are hurting me, or I perceive that you are hurting me, or you will hurt me. So anger is a protective, defensive mechanism. Underneath, now I've never heard anybody else talk about it this way, so you do your own research. Don't take my word for it, okay? I'm not a guru. I'm the guru for only me. But I'm sharing with you what I have learned and observed from my own experience of living A Course in Miracles and working with these teachings and practicing them on a moment-by-moment basis. So I used to have anger as my predominant emotion, not sadness. It was anger because I felt so deeply wounded. Why was I so deeply wounded? Because I had decided that I was unlovable, that there was something terribly wrong with me, that I was, in fact, probably an evil, demonic person, seriously, and that I was completely unlovable. So that was the wound I made through my perceptions. That was the conclusion I came to and was doubling down on day after day after day, year after year, decade after decade. So I generated the wound with my own thinking and kept poking at it, poking at it, poking at it. So there was a lot of fear that if people could see what I saw about me, they would be repulsed. And sometimes people were, of course. People who just stopped talking to me. They saw something in me that disgusted them, repelled them. Because I could be, sometimes when I felt threatened, I could be really nasty, really nasty. Or just controlling, manipulative. And if people have had experience with that and been wounded by that, they will either be drawn to it to try to heal it, or they'll be repulsed by it. What's amazing and miraculous to me now is that I'm grateful for all of that awful, 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 awful experience that I had for so long in my life. Because now when I meet somebody who is behaving like I used to behave, like a wounded animal who would just claw and defend, bite and scratch at the slightest provocation, I can have a deep, deep wellspring of compassion for them that I don't find a bottom to. And that is the compassion that I also have for my former self. And that is the self-forgiveness work that I have done to really completely forgive myself for all of the mess I made in the past. So I no longer feel guilt about that. I don't feel shame about that. I can talk about it and I feel neutral about it. Truly, I feel neutral. I don't cringe. I don't get a tightness in my belly when I talk about it. My heart is open to my former self. Because I also really, really do get that this is an illusion. It doesn't make it any less valuable to me, but it's not on my permanent record, right? Everything can be forgiven. And that's what I know for myself, and I know it for others. And that's my credential, my heart credential, my emotional, mental, spiritual, even physical credential that I can teach forgiveness in a way that people can actually comprehend it. It's not the way the world teaches forgiveness. It is the way A Course in Miracles teaches forgiveness. It takes us a while to get to the Holy Spirit will undo all the consequences of my wrong decision if I allow it, right? So that's the thing at the end of chapter 5 that we're told, that we can live in that space of the Holy Spirit will undo all the consequences of my wrong decision, if I will allow it. So we don't allow it because we feel guilty. Guilt is that punishment that we hold on to because we feel guilty. I do not feel guilty because the Holy Spirit will undo all the consequences of my wrong decision if I allow it. And it's not like, oh, so then I can go commit the crime again. No, it's not that. When we move into true forgiveness, true letting go of our attachment to the meaning that we made of it, it no longer has the meaning that we gave it. And it's all about forgiving ourselves. Once we forgive ourselves, other people are, there's nothing to forgive there. Because there is nothing outside of us. We are the whole thing. We are the world. We are the whole thing. And we can see that when we clear the blocks to love. What are the blocks to love? The unforgiveness, the guilt, the blame, the shame. All of it can be lifted off if we're willing, and willingness is the only requirement. So the forgiveness workshops that we have at the Power of Love Ministry a couple of times a month are to generate that strong willingness to let it go. So that's what true forgiveness is, the full and total willingness to let it go and let the Holy Spirit undo all the consequences of our wrong decision. That is it. And then when we get to that space, we do recognize anger is never justified, but it's completely understandable. And anger is actually incredibly helpful to us. It is that very loud alarm going off within our experience that tells us danger, danger, danger. The wound can be healed if you will allow it, and you are not. So rather than thinking other people make us angry, anger is a symptom. It is a protective, defensive device to let us know that we have healing to get done. And we don't have to do the healing. It's so important. Remember, I felt angry. That's like my whole childhood. I was angry. My teen years, I was angry. My 20s, I was angry. So much anger. It didn't begin to subside until in my 30s and 40s, but it didn't really get done until my later 40s. I get annoyed and frustrated now, and I understand that that is an anger symptom, but it's fleeting, it's momentary, it's an old reactive habit that I'm still clearing out. It happens less and less, and I do not feel guilty for sometimes feeling frustrated or annoyed or bothered. I feel grateful that I can recognize my perspective is not correct, and that there is something that I can have a healing around if I am willing. And I am willing. I am willing. I do not have any interest in being annoyed or frustrated whatsoever. I don't want to foment that. I don't want to justify it. I'm not interested in it. I'm interested in being a peaceful, positive, powerful presence of love in my own experience and everyone else's. So mentally, emotionally, it takes tremendous willingness to get to anger is never justified. The thing is to give the Holy Spirit the heavy lifting. I do not feel guilty because the Holy Spirit will undo all the consequences of my wrong decision if I allow it. That's the prayer at the end of chapter 5 that is so powerful and so healing. So let's go back to this chapter 30, section 6, the justification for forgiveness. Anger is never justified. Forgiveness is always justified. So anger is never justified. Attack has no foundation. Attack has no foundation. Love is the foundation of everything there is. Everything we can see, everything we can't see. Love is the foundation. Attack has no foundation. It's, in other words, it's never justified. There's never a cause of anger that is real. It's imagined. All the reason for anger is projection, perception, and it can be healed. Being angry all the time is exhausting, and there will be a price to pay. Because the energy that it takes to be angry, annoyed, frustrated, hurt all the time, we're going to have to take the energy, because it takes not just spiritual energy, it takes mental energy to hold on to it, and that takes emotional energy to keep it going, keep feeding it and feeding it and feeding it, protecting and defending and all of that. And then it takes physical energy as well. It's so draining. People talk about, so we just had the eclipse. I had, I forget how many people, I had guests, two people stayed over Thursday night, and then Saturday, four people came and they stayed till Tuesday. So I had all these people coming and going and a house full of guests, which I loved. People I love dearly came to visit me for to see the totality, because I live in the totality zone for that eclipse, and here in the Green Mountains of Vermont. We had so much fun. It was lovely. And then four more people came, we had five extra people came for the totality party, and were here for hours. So I was cooking and, you know, cleaning and doing all these different things, preparing for everything and entertaining everybody. It was so much fun. It was lovely. I was not stressed. I was not worried. I was not afraid. The house was not perfectly clean. The people were tracking stuff in and out from the bird feeders and the pets and the animals. It was all good. It was all good. There was no stress, no anger, no annoyance, no frustration, none of that. It's wonderful to be able to live in that space. I wrote one of my daily shots of Spiritual Espresso about this the other day. Before I did this inner work, there would have been a nonstop litany of things that would have annoyed me and frustrated me. I would have found all kinds of things to be bothered by, like, oh, why can't they this? Why do they have to that? Why are they putting these things in the refrigerator this way? Why are they putting these things on the counter this way? Why are they using those plates instead of these plates? Why are they loading the dishwasher that way? I have to reload the dishwasher now. I would have found all kinds of things. Oh, no, they're going to see I've got unpacked boxes in the corner. Oh, no, this needs to be vacuumed again. I just vacuumed it yesterday. Blah, 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 blah. None of that. None of that. Oh, I should have gotten this at the store, that at the store. Oh, I don't have that now. I would have been nonstop. And by the time they left, I would have been exhausted. But when you're not judging everything and complaining about everything and thinking everything is wrong, when you're just there to be loving, to be of service to the light, to enjoy people, to enjoy their magnificence, to recognize it, reflect it back to them, appreciate it. When you're there for that purpose, the holy purpose in the holy relationship, when more people are around and you're in the flow of love, or even on Zoom, they're there. And even if they're behaving in a snippy, nasty way and you can just flood the zone with love, there's no exhaustion. There's no exhaustion. It's exhausting to be upset and annoyed. It is healing, nourishing, restorative to be loving. It's so important to understand that. Anger is never justified, and it is never a worthwhile investment. We can learn to go the other way. There's the music. It's time for me to take a break, and I will be right back. Here we go.
Thank you for tuning in for A Course in Miracles, Living the Love, Walking the Talk.
Oh my gosh, I get so excited about these teachings and what's possible for us because I never imagined I could have the peace of God the way that I do. I never imagined that I could rely so completely on my intuition. As I was saying, I just had all these guests for the eclipse, and I don't remember what the questions were, but there were some questions about, you know, what about this? Do you want to, you know, future plans for myself, for the ministry, things like that. And my answer is, well, I don't know. My inspiration hasn't come through on that, so I'll know when I know. And I'm completely fine with living in that zone. It is my happy space, that if there's something for me to do, someplace for me to go, I will know. It will be given to me. I don't have to strain for it. I don't have to stress about it. So going back to the point I made before the break, people feel exhausted after company is gone, and they think they're exhausted because there was so much busyness and so much activity and not enough rest. I don't think so. I don't think so. My experience has taught me that even if I don't have the ideal amount of sleep, like, you know, oftentimes when there are guests here, I'm the last one that goes to sleep and the first one to wake up. But I don't feel tired because, as A Course in Miracles says, you know, one of my favorite quotes, rest comes from waking, not from sleeping. And love is so refreshing, renewing, restoring. So when there's a house full of people, I can be so filled with the love. Oh, this one to love, that one to love, being just in that loving space more than ever. It's lovely to me. It is restorative. So I don't feel tired now that they've gone. I am refreshed by their presence and the opportunity to love them. Totally enjoyable. And of course, what I also can say is that in the past, I have had many experiences. I'm 64 years old now. So in the past, I've had many, many, many experiences where people would come and people get annoyed with each other. I have had guests come who are not in the ministry, not practicing the way we practice, still spiritual students, but they'll be like, oh, this person is annoying me. Can you ask them to not do this or not do that or do this or do that? Because it annoys me when they do or don't do whatever it is they're doing or not doing. And don't you find it annoying too? Isn't it annoying that they're doing that and or not doing that? And it's a reminder to me. I say, I don't find it annoying. No, I understand why you do, but I'm not judging it as being wrong. I'm not thinking, oh, they shouldn't do that. Oh, they shouldn't talk so much. Or, oh, they should talk more, or whatever it is. I'm not thinking those shoulds about them. It's the shoulds that are bothering you. It's not the person. It's not what they're doing or not doing. It's how you hold it in your mind that bothers you. When you own that and take responsibility for that and allow yourself to put it on the altar, give it to the Holy Spirit for healing. If you're willing to relinquish your perspective, you will then feel the flow of love in your own awareness. That will renew you, restore you. Not loving them as they are, but instead staying in your perspective of that behavior is not likable. It's bothering me. It should be different. That's what's exhausting. And then the anger, the frustration, the annoyance comes that it should be different. It should be different. That's the upset. And the wound that's underneath the fear, the wound at the bottom is, I am holding on to my painful perspective, but I do not have to. I am taking myself out of the flow of love, but I do not have to. This is my choice. Heaven is a decision I must make, and I am choosing not to be in heaven today. But I could choose heaven today. And we think we're angry at the other person for what they're doing or not doing. We're actually angry at ourselves for not shifting the perspective. And so underneath anger is always the fear. And the fear is, I'm going to stay in this place and not get out of it. Because when we're triggered, that is, to me, it's like the belief that's underneath it all. Underneath the wound is always the belief, always, whatever it is, the painful perspective. Underneath the upset is that false belief. It is being brought to our attention by the upset, and we can choose to heal it or not. So for me, the times when I get frustrated and annoyed now, when I look at it, because I do, I always see the same thing. There is a sense that I'm doing something wrong. Even when it seems like other people are bothering me, underneath, when I look, I'm missing something. I'm not doing something right. Like if I get annoyed because I've explained this to people, this is how, you know, people that work for the ministry, if I explain things to them and I've asked them 3, 4, 5 times and they're not doing it the way I'd like them to do it, I feel frustrated sometimes, and it's because I feel I have not found the way to make myself clear. I don't blame them for not hearing me. I accept responsibility that I am blaming myself. I'm feeling frustrated. I haven't found the way to make myself heard or known in this. And I feel the anger, which is the frustration. I don't usually feel anger anymore. I feel annoyance, frustration, is because I am afraid it's not going to stop and that I can't figure it out. So then what do? I give it to spirit. I give it to spirit. But sometimes I then find myself still trying to manage it, still trying to figure it out. And there's my frustration. So I'm always learning, growing, discovering, renewing, refreshing, healing. And I'm grateful that my annoyance and frustration is pretty small at this point. And that I've learned what I've learned about it. And that I don't walk around in it anymore. It comes up, oh, here's an opportunity for healing, then it's gone. Because I turn it over. Anger is never justified. Attack has no foundation. It is here escape from fear begins and will be made complete. Now, the personality can argue for, yes, my anger is justified. Yes, my fear is real. Yes, all these things are true. My feelings. Of course, I understand that. My God, this has been my journey as well. But it says here, here's the real world given in exchange for dreams of terror. For it is on this forgiveness rests and is but natural. So sometimes the wording is a little like, what? It feels convoluted because it's not the way we normally speak about things. If we can simply allow ourselves to accept as fact that anger is never justified, attack has no foundation in reality, in heaven, that all of our anger and attack are symptoms of the fear, and fear itself is a symptom of the unhealed wound. We're the unhealed healers. And if we can accept responsibility for the wound, even if we don't understand it, doesn't matter if we understand it. Don't even try to understand it, seriously. Just accept, I'm carrying a wound I don't have to carry. The anger is letting me know it's time to let it go. The anger is letting me know it's time to let it go. How do I let it go? I give it to the Holy Spirit for healing. Holy Spirit, whatever is this wound, whatever is this fear, whatever is this anger, whatever it's all symptomatic of, whatever is the belief that's not true that's coming up for healing, I am choosing a healing right now. I am willing to have a healing right now. Now, I will say, if you ever would like support in doing this work, this is what our programs are all about, having lots and lots and lots of support. In fact, one of the comments I hear frequently from participants in Masterful Living, in Finding Freedom, in the Self-Sabotage Program, in the Stop Playing Small program, all the programs, they say, I've never had so much support. I've never experienced so much support. Of course, anybody can do this work on their own. I did. But it's way faster with support. That's what I see. That's what I witness. People say, oh my gosh, I wish I had done this 6 years earlier when I first found A Course in Miracles. So just letting you know, That's what we're doing at the Power of Love Ministry. Go to powerofloveministry.net. You'll see what's coming up. And I'll take a moment right now to just say, we've got in-person events in Scottsdale, Arizona in May. I am doing my spiritual counseling training intensive and how to lead and create workshops that make a difference. These are deeply healing, powerful in-person events. And we do so much inner work during these events. People come just for the healing, not even for the training. So anyone is welcome to come to those events. I'm also getting ready for my prayer power classes. 4 classes in the prayer power program. Very powerful. I'm starting my whole sequence of prayer training. It begins with the prayer power classes. Now you can take these at any time on a digital download, but if you'd like to do it with me on Zoom, come and do it. So powerful to learn how to pray. People in my programs always tell me, thank you for teaching me how to pray in a powerful way. It's completely transformed my life and the life of my family. So just letting you know, go to powerofloveministry.net if you're interested in any of these. So you are not asked to offer pardon where attack is due. That's important to understand. You're not being asked to forgive anything where somebody deserves your forgiveness. This is foundational to the teachings of A Course in Miracles. Now, what we're being taught here is that no one needs our forgiveness. We need our forgiveness. It's never about forgiving anyone else. It's always 100% about forgiving the meaning we made of it. It's that. Because when we can see it clearly, without our judgments and opinions, without our projections and perceptions, which we really, it's pretty hard to do unless you've really dug into this work, you're still going to have opinions and judgments. So that's why what true forgiveness is giving up the opinions and the judgments, the perceptions and the projections about it. That's really what's happening here. And we don't even have to figure out how to do that. We just have to be willing to let the Holy Spirit undo all the consequences of our wrong decision. But as long as we think anger is justified, as long as we think attack is justified, we won't be doing that. So that's why heaven is a decision I must make. I must make it in order to experience it. No one can give it to me. It's everything that happens, and it seems to happen to us. We must move into that place that A Course in Miracles teaches us. Nothing is outside of us, so nothing can happen that we don't wish for. That is the difficulty in this teaching, is for us to accept it. So, like I always say, don't try to understand it. Just be willing to accept it as true. So when you're confronted with your own beliefs that your attack is justified, that defending yourself is a good idea, when you're confronted with your own belief that your wound is real and it's permanent and you can never be happy again because that person died or that person left you or that person stole all your money or that person burned your house down, burned your family down, destroyed your happiness, when those thoughts are coming hard and strong, if you can just say, Holy Spirit, help me now. I am willing to go the other way. Show me how. I am willing. I'm willing to go the other way. But a lot of times, I know for myself, millions of times, I was not willing. I thought I needed my attack thoughts. Now, it is very challenging teaching to say that no one needs to be forgiven. You just need to forgive yourself. That's it. You just need to let your decisions, your interpretations, the meanings that you gave to things, your beliefs, be healed, dissolved, and resolved permanently back to the root cause by the Holy Spirit. That's the only thing. So we have to give up resentment. We have to give up blame. And as long as we feel guilty, ashamed, we won't give up those blame and resentment. The guilt and the shame goes with the blame and the resentment. Because underneath everything, we know the truth. We don't need A Course in Miracles because it's written in our heart, but we can't find it. We've forgotten it. Why did we forget it? Because we became interested in some other story that completely denies the truth. We became utterly convinced that other people are to blame for our misery, or that we are bad, we are wrong, we're not good enough. We are absolutely, utterly, completely convinced of these things. And we think, I can't forgive them for what they did to me. I want to be free. I want to let it go. I want to not be angry all the time anymore. I want to not be bitter. But they cheated on me. They abandoned me. They stole from me. They cut me off. They took my job. They crashed my car. They broke my spirit. They broke my heart. They raped me. They did all these things, and I want to let it go. I want to not be hurt anymore. I want to feel free of it. But they did this to me, and I don't know how to let it go. What I have learned, because I've been doing this for 25 years now, it's never about them. It always seems like it is, but that's the wrong perspective that's so painful. It's always about we can set ourselves free. We put ourselves in a cage, we locked it, we threw away the key. However, the cage is not real, so no key is needed. Only the Holy Spirit is needed. But we have the authority problem. So what is the authority problem? I did an episode about this years ago. The authority problem is we have put ego as our authority, right? So the wrong decision maker is the authority, and the right decision maker is blocked. So that still small voice, the Holy Spirit, is always speaking to us. It is our higher self. It is our true nature, always speaking to us, always speaking to us. Anger is never justified. When I used to throw temper tantrums, which I did as an adult, and just absolute horrifying temper tantrums, destructive, throwing things, breaking things, things like that, I always could hear the still small voice underneath that anger. But it didn't make any sense to me. I didn't want to listen to it. I thought my anger was justified and nobody was listening to me. Now, the next paragraph begins with, pardon is always justified. It has a sure foundation. So anger has no foundation. Pardon has a sure foundation. You do not forgive the unforgivable, nor overlook a real attack that calls for punishment. Salvation does not lie in being asked to make unnatural responses which are inappropriate to what is real. Instead, it merely asks that you respond appropriately to what is not real by not perceiving that which has not occurred. Okay, so that again, you have to read it very carefully in order to understand it. And it's just simply saying, this is an illusion. It never really happened. It's not real, meaning it's not on your permanent record. It's just an opportunity here in the illusion to work with your mind and to see what you're interested in. Are you interested in believing it's real, that it is permanent, that you can't heal from it? Is that what you're interested in? Have at it. That's the thing about this world. God is not going to intervene, meaning our higher Holy Spirit self is not going to intervene. The personality, the ego, decision maker, we can go as deep down a rabbit hole with that as we want. We can become a sociopath, a psychopath, and experience that. What would be the purpose of that? To have a deep and profound compassion for it. I now have a deep and profound compassion for people who are controlled by their anger, who have lost their way to the point that they feel that they do not deserve to live, that life is not worth living. I can have total compassion for someone who is mean and hostile and angry and vicious because I understand it and I developed a compassion for myself. I healed. I gave that to the Holy Spirit for healing in myself. I experienced the healing. I've had the healing. And so now I am so interested in supporting and assisting people who feel horrible. For parents who have screamed and yelled and beaten their children, I have an interest in helping them come back into their right mind, knowing that they can and then they will help others. This is what I get to do. I am so grateful every freaking day that I get to do this. It is my calling. I love it. I have a passion for it. For people who have been mean to their spouses year after year after year, and their spouse has turned against them. Their home is a war zone. Their children are afraid. I know they can come back into their right mind. It does not have to take a long time. It just takes willingness. I can hold their hand while they cultivate the willingness. And it is miraculous how fast it can happen. Children who have become dysfunctional because of their parents' anger, and their parents are more and more angry because they feel more and more guilty and ashamed that they have been so awful to their children. All of that can be healed, and the whole revival can take place. So we place our hand on our heart, and we are grateful and thankful for our revival, for our healing. And we share the benefits with everyone. Amen. Amen, amen.